This snippet is from The Binge, Mamma Mia's TV podcast. 13 Reasons Why is a new Netflix show that just has people up in arms. Half of the people who've watched it just think it's the most brilliant TV show they've ever watched. It's talking about a lot of important issues from teen suicide to rape. And there's also a whole other class of people who think that images like that really shouldn't be seen on our TV screens and it's more damaging than it is empowering. I know we gave you a little bit of a taste of this show last week when it first dropped, but since then we've binge watched all 13 episodes and it's all anyone can talk about, so we're going to deep dive on it. And to join us today is Mamma Mia Out Loud host and Mamma Mia writer Jessie Stevens. Hey, Jessie.
Hello.
So Jessie has forced her way into the podcast studio because she is very much adamant that this is not a show that we should be watching on TV. She wasn't very happy with the ending, kind of a little bit different to what Tiff and I are thinking. So Jessie, I think your main beef is with the last episode.
Correct.
And the way it concluded. So I know you and I have talked about this before, and we're going to get into it again. Don't you think that this whole show in general is just really important viewing that, like, teenagers and adults should be watching?
I could not disagree more. I read a headline before that said this is the show everyone needs to watch, and I was like, whoa, incorrect. This is the show that so many people need not to watch.
Okay, but why?
Because this being a brilliant show and this being extremely dangerous are not mutually exclusive things. They can be both.
Okay.
So I think it's a brilliantly developed show. I think it's wonderfully filmed. I think the script is great. The underlying message, even the fact that it's called 13 Reasons Why, there is not a linear path when it comes to suicide. Psychologists will tell us that we can sit there and search and think about why someone made that decision. You will never come up with 13 clear reasons why, as much as that's the premise of the show. The experts tell us unequivocally with their research that the portrayal of suicide in this way, going through reasons why someone decided to do it, showing the graphic nature in which they took their own life, will stimulate copycat attempts. We know that for a fact.
Okay. I'm going to stop there because it's funny. I used to edit a teen magazine and images around suicide, talk around suicide was something we were very, very conscious of. And so part of me going into this show thought, well, how do you get around this? And I actually thought the way they portrayed suicide in the show and the fact, I didn't think it was glamorized. I think the thing with suicide, you're right, there is a trigger effect, which is why you'll often find, like, if there's someone within a community that commits suicide, it'll trigger a ton of other suicides.
Yes, it's
as well.
Contagious. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree, like, you know, you do have to be careful with how you portray suicide, but I felt the way they did it, it was graphic. It wasn't pleasant. It was deeply unpleasant to watch. Mm. I don't think it taught anyone how to do anything.
What the research shows us is that it's not so much whether we find it glamorous or not, it's actually showing how to do it. So mm-hmm. the fact that she committed suicide in a really specific way that we could all see is what triggers people to go down the same path. And what's interesting is that Australia has really, really rigid reporting guidelines. The same don't exist in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So even I don't think you would ever see this on Australian television. And they didn't at the end make this really big point about how to get help. I believe it wasn't until an extra episode that you had to watch in order to get the resources. So you've got really vulnerable people watching this. And I've read a lot online about people who said, this left me in a really bad place. I found it, I couldn't watch it. Yeah. I started watching it and just went, I actually feel physically sick watching this scene. And I think the big question is, which I think we might have different answers on, do we need to see suicide in order to discuss it?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I would say that the counterpoint to that is, and the original ending to both the script and the book, I believe, was that she didn't die, that she was taken to hospital and they were able to revive her, which I think is just a completely different storyline. It wouldn't have been as powerful. It would have just been not an easy way out, I'd say, but it wouldn't have been really hitting home how serious this issue is. And as much as it was so confronting to see that scene, and just obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you see like the pain on her face. You see how desperate she is in that moment. And when she does it, there's always a lot of talk around things like, you know, it's a release or it's a happy ending. And this showed you that that is not the case at all. It's just a painful, awful, terrible moment. And there's no peace. You see like the looks on her parents' faces when they find her. I think Kate Walsh did a brilliant job of portraying just the absolute horror of finding your daughter dead and floating in a bathtub. And then afterwards, when Tony's describing what he saw, they carried her out in the body bag. There were no handles. They just threw her lifeless body into the back of the ambulance. It kind of just really hit home that that's it. Like, that is the end. And I think there's a lot of, like, I know I don't pretend to, like, sort of know the ins and outs of what's going through people's minds when they're in that state. And obviously, I'm like, I know that why they're putting guidelines in Australia in place. Mm-hmm. But I think it really hit home in a way what happens afterwards and the fact that it is just brutal and awful and it ruins the lives of everyone around you. Do you remember when Robin Williams died and everyone was sharing all those images saying of like Aladdin and saying like, you know, you're finally free and you finally found peace. See, I find that more troubling because that kind of showed it as like, you know, it's freedom and it's release and it's an end to the pain. And, you know, we just have to celebrate his life and not think about how it ended. And I think that's more troubling. I think actually having like teenagers and adults sit down and look at this and say like, it's brutal, it's painful, then that's it. You're gone. And everyone around you is destroyed. I mean, that's a painful message to hear, but it's true.
It's interesting that you said having her actually die at the end was a more powerful statement. And I think there's a lot in that word powerful, which is that this is the ultimate power. This is almost, to me, it feels like an act of revenge. And it feels like the only way she felt she could be heard and the only way she is heard and makes her point is through death. And that, to me, could serve as a blueprint. And I'm really interested in the next few months what we see when this is being consumed alongside things like S-Town, the podcast that's been listened to by tens of millions of people, what we see. Because this is front and centre of pop culture at the moment. And I think that if the portrayal of suicide was something that helped the mental health of young people, then surely we would see a reduction, not a spike, which is what we're seeing.
Well, then I guess like if you're talking about things that are portrayed on screen and are portrayed on screen in this show as well, we never used to see rape scenes on screen. Or if you did, that was all off camera. It was muffled. It was not realistic. And I think the rape scenes we see in this show as well are incredibly powerful. And this is a relatively new thing. I'm trying to remember the first time I saw it on TV. I think it was Private Practice. Exactly. Something
and
like that.
Never in
that
a teen show.
Never in a teen show. And it was, you know, and so someone always has to be the first, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think the other issue that I've got is that I don't see enough complexity and discussion in this show when it comes to mental illness. Mm. I feel like mental illness preceding this kind of act is something that really could have been explored more, because to suggest that bullying and rape is this linear path that leads to this decision is really simplifying the suicide narrative.
Yeah, I do actually agree with you there, because I think that she's clearly suffering from depression. She's got incredibly low self-esteem, and even Clay's character, there's reference to him taking medication, but you never get to find out what that was and why. And yeah, so I do agree with you on that point. Yeah. I think that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I definitely think there are a few plot points that weren't explored as fully as they could have been in that case. But I also think it really goes to show you that, like, you know, I know we've talked about bullying in high school and that sort of stuff a lot, but I think that at this point there's so much of just a wash of generalness out there that to boil it down to all these acts and actually to see how they all affect each other and how, like, no one was really like a villain except for Bryce the rapist.
Well,
but like
I think there were a few villains
they
in
were
that
but
piece.
They're not, they weren't just like one-sided, you know, like I'm just being awful to be awful. Like, they all had reasons what they were doing, terrible as it was. But I think it went to show like that escalation of, if you know, if you are treated that badly, if you don't get help, you know, that sort of thing. And it really went to show, you know, that I think that it's kind of like something that's not always preventable by actions, but it could have been if someone had just stepped in for her. Like, that's what it made, just left me with that feeling, left me feeling horrified.
But then don't you think that that is such an issue with suicide, that what happens when someone does that is that everyone looks at each other and they blame themselves, and people hold that for the rest of their lives? And this is a way of saying, yeah, there's a scene where they say, like, you could have done something, I could have done something.
Mm-hmm. But then she also says she could have done something. She cops to it in that very last episode that I've given up, I've stopped caring.
Yeah.
You all stopped caring and so
messy.
Have I.
It was messy. Like, everyone could have done something. Everyone could have done things differently. This is not a public service announcement. It's not an education. Mm. Like, it is a TV show. I think it was, you know what I mean? Like, this is not the kind of thing you should show anyone in crisis. Mm. And this is why they had the warnings before it comes on. Like, I think this is the kind of thing that you can watch if you're not in that headspace, if you haven't experienced it. Like, like, this is not something, this is not education aid. Like, I would be giving this to people who are going through that and being saying, watch this, it'll help you.
But isn't that also what entertainment and what TV shows do?
Yeah, but look, I think it's a conversation starter, and that is, like, one of the most important things television can do is start conversations. It's certainly got us talking anyway. We could go on for ages, but we should probably stop.
So if you are experiencing any distress, the thing to do is to call Lifeline Australia on 13 11 14. And thank you so much, Jessie, for coming in for that rigorous debate. Obviously, we have different feelings. And 13 Reasons Why, if you do want to still watch it after that little debate, is screening now on Netflix. For the full episode of The Binge, subscribe in iTunes or the Mamma Mia podcast app.